Great, thanks, Paul. The lesson is Isaiah 41, and I'll read this verse 2, just a few verses. It's about God who raised up one from the east, who in righteousness called him to his feet, who gave a nation before him, made him rule over kings, who gave him the dust to his sword, a driven stubble to his bow, who pursued them and passed safely by the way that he has not gone with his feet, who had performed and done it, called nation from the beginning, I the Lord am the first, and the last, I am he. Mm. In this passage, if you the commentator will talk about, is all about either Isaiah prophesying about Cyrus will be a man from the east, will set the Israelites back from their exile, back into Israel, or it's about Abraham who came from the east, from Ur, right away through to the promised land. But either way, it doesn't matter, because what I'm going to talk about is what God does with you and me as Christians. And the key, one of the key verses is that who raised up one from the east. Because in the New Testament, we've got about us being, since you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above where Christ is. Seat the right hand of God, that's Colossians 3:1. And Romans 6, just as Christ was raised from the dead by glorious power of the Father, now we also are living new lives. And seeking the underlying thing I think the Lord wants you to understand or to be reminded of is that when you're knowing Jesus, when you're in the kingdom of God, like God's rule is on your life, it changes your life's experience. And in this passage, it talks about God strengthening and helping us. That is in verse 9. I will help you, I will strengthen you. What it is God works within us to strengthen us. God gives well-being, comfort, sense of peace, confidence, encouragement. And he also helps us, meaning around us, things change to enable us to be who we're meant to be and do what we're meant to do. So our life experience is not just going like everybody else, or like it would have been if they had known God, and somehow getting to eternal life at the end of the day when we know God when we die, sort of thing. It's now something happens in our life experience which wouldn't happen if we didn't know God. Something happens within us which wouldn't have happened if we'd not asked Jesus into our life. And just want to talk about, draw out some of these things in this passage, Isaiah 41, to encourage us to say that. So first of all, we get this phrase, raised up one from the east. We have all come from somewhere. Maybe the east. But a raised up person has a previous history. And John Newton, the slave captain, could say, once I was blind, but now I see. There's a transformation happens because we've met with Jesus Christ. People who say, I've always been like this. They've not yet known the kingdom. Because what a mark of the kingdom is, it takes from one place and brings to another. Is transformational. Who raised up one from the east, when righteousness called him to his feet. Coming into new life, being raised up with Christ, integral to that is a call. And this makes sense, because if the kingdom of God is God's rule, there's going to be somewhere where we obey him. In our private worlds, we are seeking to obey him, do what pleases him. His rule is over us. it works through in public world as well. We should have both things happening at the same time. But there's a call, integral to the process of being raised up. So when we're raised up, no God in our lives, there's intricately things we've got to do, places we've got to be, person we've got to become. There's obligations on us, which we suddenly find we need to be there. We ought to go to church, say, on a Sunday evening. We ought to pray. We ought to get to know that person. We ought to just read that book. I mean, whatever the thing is, we have obligations which we obey because it is Lord's in it. In Romans 8:28, we have this verse: "We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." See, loving God, but also called to His purpose. The two things are together. There's a in the Lord's Prayer, "Have Thy kingdom come," but then you have "Thy will be done on earth as in heaven." Well, God's kingdom is that God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. And it's through you and through me, who called us in righteousness to His feet. The call lies within what's right. Now sometimes we can get the call by, we can discern the call by saying, "That needs doing." Or we think we're on the right path because we feel it's the sort of right thing to do. There's a sort of rightness about something, and we don't often recognise it's a call. We just realise this is something that needs to be done. We see something that other people don't even see, but we've got to do it. It's something like that. So, but when we obey that call, we get that sense of God sort that out. God's purpose is revealed at that point. It's only revealed as we do it. And what is what we do may be seen by others as being right. Some people see it's right, not everybody, but some will see, "Oh, I recognise there's something about that. I'm glad you did that. I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you were there at that time." They'll recognise it. And each one I'm speaking to here knows by their own experience, well, most of you do, that this has actually happened for you as well. You're remembering things, not talking. That's a good thing, okay? Now, the second half of the verse 2 tells us something about the call. It says, "Who gave the nation before him and made him rule over kings." Who gave him? The call means a place to go which is given, not earned. Gave the nation before him. Who made him rule over kings. The core aspects of our life are not in control of. He makes her. He made him rule. He found himself in a situation where he was in this position. You might not want to be where you are, but you suddenly find yourself in this place where you're the only one who can sort something out, or you're the only one who can do this particular thing, or read that person, or relate that young person or that old person, whatever it might be. It's something you didn't work your way up towards. You just sit, you found it happened. That's part of the experience of walking in the call. But that word "made" also reminds us the call leads us to a process of formation. Made us, made him rule before the kings. There's a formation process. You start one step of obedience and God starts to form something. And as you make another step, he forms more of who you are in the purpose of God. In the Lord's Prayer you have this thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. I'm telling you things you know already, okay? But what you may not know is that the Greek word, which is translated daily, is from the word to I am, for the future. So what he's really saying is, give us today tomorrow's bread. It's like you're looking forward. God has got a plan. He sees you as you will be, and you're bringing into being for the moment, as you obey the call, God bringing into being that which He's always purposed you to be. And He's bringing the future to the present. We all know about faith and hope. We talk about that all the time. But so few people think about what hope is actually. It's looking something in the future to which we ourselves will then experience, right? It's the future coming into the present. Give us today tomorrow's bread. Why is it called daily bread then? It's because they translated that way in the fathers, Christian fathers in the old days. What is? They said, God said, I am. What is? But it's actually the future bread, future tense. Now, verse 4 says this: who has performed and done it? Call the nation, generation from the beginning. I am the Lord, and the first, with the Lord, last I am He. The call we have, we share in those lived in previous generations. God is with us in the same way that previous people were in previous generations. And it's good to read some of the biographies of those who obeyed God in the past. The world may have changed, but God has not. And in the previous verse it says, who pursued and passed safely by the way he had not gone with his feet. Now it's like, I mean, Abraham saw in visions the Mount Moriah, which had not been to his feet, and he came there. A bit like Cole was saying, he saw the vision about speaking, and then he's finally stopped here, okay? You pass safely by the way he'd not gone his feet. He saw it, and then he began to experience it. But the truth of the matter is, whenever you're called by God, you find yourself doing things you didn't expect. You're into places you didn't expect to go. You're into new areas you didn't know. And that is a normal for those who are called, because God is bigger than we are. He's not just coming and pat on the head and saying, now you're a forgiven person, you sit there and pay until you die. He takes us on into his purpose, his world, and it's bigger than what we are. And it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. You may be from the east, as it were, or wherever you're from. Doesn't matter where you'd be. I had someone this morning talk to me saying, because they've had this trouble in the past, can they do anything now? And I said, when Abraham came to Ur, when it's in the promised land, but in fact he came to Ur, I said, no issues at all. It didn't matter what his past was. What mattered was him obeying God in the present. That he was fulfilling God's purpose. So we need to be those who obey God. Don't be pulled off by, oh, I did this in the past, I've got to be used by God. You can go wherever God sends you. And the final thing is this. In this passage we have the reaction of the world when they try to make idols. So you've got the reaction to what God's doing. And the world, when they see God at work in the church of God, in the people of God, it tries to make alternatives. God's Holy Spirit being poured out in the 1960s of his love was matched by the business society. in London as it began to sort of work from that point around the globe. God's Spirit being poured out in the 1990s on healing and prophecy, introducing the church, most of the church, to the idea of the supernatural, which was different for a be good, try harder type church, was matched by the growth in witchcraft and alternative sense of healing. So you've got the sort of enemy trying stuff as God pours out his grace in, on the people of God. And this is normal, this is standard stuff. What this verse tells us is what are we to do about it? And it says we're not to be intimidated. It says fear not. And it's the focus of help in such times as this. Remember, we are God's servants. God has chosen us, he's not cast away. We still look to what he wants to do, even though things change, the world affirming, what he opposes the true God. So we hold on to, we just keep going, what's God going to do today? Okay, I'll do that then. I'll do that then. The world may be going off different ideas, but I'm going to obey the Lord for my life now. Do the next thing, whatever comes on. That's how you do it, okay? So, do not fear. Remember, God is with you. This is what it's saying here. And don't be dismayed. Don't have an oh no that stops in our tracks. Instead, look to God. Don't let anything just be squash God out of the picture, like a mountain obscuring the sun. But just get to a place where look up to God, whatever's going on. Because God can strengthen us and help us. He works within and without. So when you hear people, and they will go, there'll be people going, even in church, oh, you know, guess what, this happened, oh, you know what the Lord's coming to, all that stuff, right? Don't turn off. Just let go with their little time. But what you're going to do, you survey God, look up to the Lord, and just keep going. The thing is, they can wander around their country, but you're going to go on with God to the end. You raise me, raised up, and called in righteousness to walk with him in your life.